Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray,
thank you. Let
me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I'll tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets the foot behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Kintyre.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Paddy McGill here. Okay, so we're getting there. We're at the halfway stage of various championships. However, this time, there are no second chances. So no messing or you'll be doing the Christmas shopping early. And it's a packed show. We are going to be discussing the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Senior and Intermediate Football Championships, as well as the Ladies Final. All of this in the company of Craig and Ryan Ferry. Good evening, gentlemen.
It's Paddy. How are you?
Paddy, how's things?
Absolutely fantastic. Probably the busiest weekend of all time in the Northwest Senior Quarterfinals. That's where we will start, spanning from Friday to Sunday. North take on South in the centre Friday night. St Michael's v Éirua in Park Sean McCool, Ballybofey. Saturday in Ardra, Kilcare v McCool's, and then as double trouble on Sunday, St Dunan's v Sentinels in McCool Park, followed by Galatasaray v Fenerbahce at 5:15. I'm only joking, it's Guidoor versus Neve Connell, and that is where we will start. We'll do the Forrest Gump on it, the Tarantino. We'll start at the end. This is mouth-watering, Frank Craig. And just talking to people in the past few days, it's almost the subplots around this game. And I know I exaggerate sometimes, but it is the subplots around this game. It's as intriguing as the game itself, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we needed to start the quarterfinals with a bang, because I think maybe as the group stages progressed, they started to die a slow death. And maybe, you know, the shake-up and that there was kind of pretty obvious, maybe after round two or three, and especially round four for a lot of people, maybe the interest was lost a bit. But I mean, straight out of the draw drum in the quarter final, Neve Connell Guidoor, it's huge. And in a way, like for neutrals especially, it falls under the humdinger category. And listen, if you want to win this championship, you have to beat the best in a way. I suppose Neve Connell had just been so consistent and so dominant for so long, they probably could have felt like, you know, they would like to have maybe like a softer landing in the last eight. But for Guidoor, I think it's, you know, it's one that they can really get their teeth in. And I think it's something that could put them really back on track, because I think, you know, after, you know, their Ulster campaign and that brilliant season that they had, they kind of, you know, lost a bit of their direction. Seemed to be stuttering through the league, if you listen to some people's opinions. But again, I think under, you know, the holy trinity of Kevin Cassidy, Joseph Duffy and Maxi Kern, I think they were looking maybe just to drag something in a new direction. And maybe it was going to get worse before it got better there, maybe at the expense of one or two league results. But, you know, I think they look like the team that we expect them to be, simply because of the amount of talent that they have. So very interesting. And listen, again, the reward for the winner there, I think, is the winner of Kilcare and McCool. So, again, no disrespect to McCool's, but if Kilcare come through there, you're looking at a huge semi-final as well. So, yeah, I think the quarterfinals are going to give us maybe the championship that we've been waiting for, fingers crossed.
Frank mentioned a softer landing, Ryan, and I think the format and the structure of the championship is perhaps a podcast for another day, but life isn't fair. But Guidoor and Neve Connell will feel, look, there's no two better clubs come through, you know, a battle royale, but a little bit unfair that they've met at this stage. Because would you prefer the seeding like last year, Ryan?
Probably not, Paddy, if I'm being honest. I could go off on one about this championship structure, really. I just thought what went on last Saturday was just it's like, I just didn't see what the point in it was. There were six or seven teams with nothing to play for in the final round of the game, final round of fixtures. You know, I think with the way it was, with the way this structure is, Paddy, it really suits the big four teams, and that they're always going to come through that. And I suppose the tweak this year was that there was no seeding, and you know, it probably makes a huge difference for the other teams that are not in the big four, that they thought that, well, if we get through, you know, we're not just on to a hiding to nothing. And now that's tough on Guidora and Niamh Connell. And you know, we'd all, you know, if we had the two big semi-finals like we've had in a couple of recent years, we'd all go along to it and we'd really enjoy it. But I think, you know, I think it's good that we're going to have a different team in the semi-finals this year. I think, you know, St. Michael's and Eirua will look at this as a fantastic opportunity. You know, it is, as I said, it's tough on Niamh Connell and Guidora, but that's the luck of the draw, and you get on with it, and you know, one of them will fall on Sunday evening, and you know, their season will be over, and you know, they might think they're hard done by, but the championship will go on, and that'll just be the way it is.
We'll definitely get into the VAR. I want to get your opinions on it. We'll get into the format more, because we want to talk about the relegation quarterfinals. A lot of people feel aggrieved as well that there shouldn't be eight teams in a relegation. We will discuss that later on. I mentioned trench warfare. That's what we had, Ryan, a couple of years ago when these sides met. Well, do you think we'll see any incremental changes in how the game will be played out on Sunday evening?
Not really, no. I think it'll be very tactical once again, as all those games were. They were quite low scoring, like the trilogy of county finals. You know, there'll be differences there. Like I was just thinking back on it. You know, like I think Orrin McFadden Ferry back then was always picking up Leo McLoone. You would imagine now that'll be Kieran Thompson on Sunday evening. I think, you know, Jack McKelvey was always picking up Darrell Wheel. Jack McKelvey seems to have more of a forward role for Niamh Connell this year, so maybe somebody else, maybe one of the Dohertys will be picking up Darrell Wheel. So there'll be different tweaks here, there and everywhere, but like I can imagine that, you know, both teams, there'll be plenty of bodies back. It'll be tough, won't be for the faint of heart, and I would imagine it'll just be probably one scoring at the end of the game.
Frank, where do you stand with that one? Do you think there'll be much changes in how it's played out?
Unfortunately not, and I think that trend, you know, stems from the fact that these so-called top four, they're familiar with each other. They know that maybe on paper there's not that much difference in terms of quality and what they can deliver in any given day. So there is that, you know, trepidancy and tendency to, you know, revert to type, and it does sort of become a game of chess. And I look at maybe, you know, Eirua, you know, against, say, Niamh Connell a few weeks back. Ignorance was probably bliss there. You know, they had been an intermediate, you know, they haven't got those maybe psychological hang-ups. They come up to the senior championship, throw the kitchen sink at Niamh Connell and get a draw. The following week, maybe that innocence, or the week, you know, a fortnight later, that innocence is maybe, you know, tested when St. Unions tear them apart. So once bitten, twice shy. Now Eirua probably realise there's a certain way you have to play in the senior championship against these top sides. Unfortunately, you sort of have to be conservative. You have to be uber cautious, maybe at the expense of what you might offer or deliver in the final third. So like Ryan says, I think in some sense the inevitability that we thought of, you know, these semi-finals, it'll be different this year, obviously, with the Kilkear 1-2. But you get an interesting game, you know, you get a tight claustrophobic game, but you don't get that spectacular shootout that you would love to see sides go for. It just doesn't happen. And people say the games are opening up slightly, that they're changing a wee bit. I do think it's evolving, but I think it's evolving more along the lines of what we might see at inter-county level. Brent Devaney and Jim McGuinness have touched on this a lot more elegantly than maybe I might be fit to. But it becomes a sort of a, you know, the physicality is gone in a sense that players are dropping back at mass. You know, there's a turnover, you know, topside, a kick-out's one, you know, short kick-out. Players are sprinting back towards goal. They're not interested in who's got the ball. So, you know, do I expect any of that there to change in the next fortnight or next 3 weeks? Definitely not. You know, down the line, will we be dragged there kicking and screaming to a different sort of way because of maybe trying rules that maybe actually affect the game instead of introducing ridiculous rules at Congress that just annoy people and threaten to change the product of Gaelic football to a degree, Paddy. It's probably a bad analogy, but I've talked to some people that have maybe gone back to play reserve football or got involved again maybe after a break, and maybe just lads that have bridged, you know, genres or eras, and they'll tell you Gaelic football is still the same in the sense that you kick the ball over the bar, you try to kick it in the back of the net. But what they grew up maybe in their first 70, 18, 19, 20 years to what they're been asked to play now in their late 30s, they're two completely different concepts.
Yeah, and the flack the referees take as well. I actually just mentioned rules changes. I do not know how they do it. I just cannot figure out how they can categorize and figure out so many quick decisions in a short period of time on the pitch. And it must be an impossible job. What Frank
without segueing, there real quickly, I know we're not much time, but that's a good point. And, you know, referees are an endangered species here in Donegal. We're struggling to get them. And, you know, they're open for as much, if not more, criticism now than the actual teams that are playing. You know, teams can hide behind a result. You know, and referees are being scrutinized now to the point where it's in danger of becoming personal. And I just think it's something that we need to be very, very careful about, because if we're struggling at the minute, you know, come January or February, how many of the lads that are currently whistling are going to sign up for it again? It's got a lot to do with maybe some of the reasons why games aren't staggered as much as we'd like as well, simply because we don't have the referees as well to, you know, to throw a net on, you know, the width and breadth of the county. A few weeks ago, I think we had, you know, a referee in our draw that had to travel the whole way from Mallon, Sean McLaughlin. So it's just difficult. And I think we need to be very careful maybe in how we critique or how, you know, we deliver word or, you know, opinion on them, because they don't have the umbrella of a team to hide behind. You know, if our draw St Unions, Niamh Connell lose a game, if a referee is a bad game, it's his name there in black and white. So just listen, it's a side point, but I think it's something that deserves a wee bit more debate than maybe be looked at, because as you say, I don't know why anybody would do that job.
I think of all the sports, and I think we all love, you know, 7-8 different sports. I personally think it's probably the most blurred and the most grey to actually referee in terms of the actual decisions. I remember David Goff was on one of the national platforms last year discussing a decision, and then Pat McEnany was discussing it, and they actually vehemently completely disagreed on a particular tackle. And here you are, you know, the greatest ref probably of the 90s and one of the top refs now. And I mean, what chance have the local refs got is my point. But yeah,
the fault lies there, Paddy, with the rules. It's not that two men are refs, stupid or ignorant or, you know, at loggerheads. It's the inconsistency maybe, or the blurred lines between a rule of interpretation, and that's what we need to start making a bit clearer in black and white.
I totally agree with that. So if it is very defensive, Ryan, what are the key matchups going to be on Sunday evening?
Well, I suppose, you know, the big one really is who picks up McNeilis. You know, because he's such an important player for Gweedore, and he's, you know, he's missed a few games. You know, he missed a few games for the county. Is he at 100%? You know, like we've probably seen it in previous years. When he is involved with Donegal setup, I think he's at probably a different level. So who picks him up? I don't know. Could you be looking at Alton Darley, Oran Darley, you know, I don't know, Kieran Brennan, somebody like that, maybe? Like, I don't think AJ Gallagher hasn't really been playing for Niamh Connell. You know, I don't know if he'll be back next week. So they have a few options of men that could do a job there. You know, you've like Sakia Mulligan, who's a really important player for Gweedore, you know, in the half forward line. And then in midfield, you know, you've got Micheál Carrolls, and you know, they're very, very strong around the middle eight, really, are Gweedore. Like, so, you know, there's a lot of players to try and watch.
How far off are they to win the one Ulster a couple of years ago? Can they get back to those levels? Because I think a lot of people did feel that maybe they're just slipping out of that top, you know, top two, three, whatever it is.
Yeah, but like, you know, at the same time, Paddy, people say that, but, you know, they've had good minor teams. You know, they've had good minor teams over the last couple of years, and, you know, they're starting to integrate a few of those boys in. You, Finnan Coyle and Faker Coyle have come in and done a bit. Donald McGill of Ridge has come in. They've got the likes of Dahi Roberts, Owen De Burka. They're pushing. So, like, Gweedore aren't going anywhere, really. Like, but I suppose the question is, you know, I know Cassidy, Kevin Cassidy played at the weekend against Kilcar, but he hasn't played much this year. I don't know if he'll be playing this weekend. Have they replaced him at full forward? Have they got that focal point to their attack? You know, now you would say Niamh Connell, you know, Charlie McGinnis has really pushed on his game over the last couple of years. He's become a real handful of full forward. But, you know, he'll probably have Neil McGee for company on Sunday, you know, so there might be a lot of change coming there. And, you know, the big one too for Niamh Connell, I wasn't at the Glenswilly Niamh Connell game last week, but by all accounts, Kieran Gallagher picked up a bit of a knock. And, you know, if he's not there, that's a big blow for Niamh Connell as well. Like,
I've heard one or two more knocks as well, but obviously we're not going to hear anything. How do you see it going, Frank?
It's a hard one to call. I always see these big four games on paper as 50-50. But then you look at it, I mean, I've never been convinced. Like, I haven't been convinced by Niamh Connell in the sense that I thought St. Eunice should have beat them last year. You know, it took a penalty shootout to see off Kilkear. But then again, whatever about being convincing, they're consistent. So that has to count for something, Paddy. They're always there. And the way that they disposed of Gwydor, you know, a few seasons ago in that epic county final, you know, replay after replay, it just, there's something ingrained in them. There's just this never say die attitude, for want of a better phrase. It's like Gwydor maybe physically and mentally just couldn't live with that appetite that they had. And it, you know, you have to tip your hat to them that they keep coming back and keep coming back. Again, I look at it and I call it a 50-50 game. I don't know. There's an air of, even though we're so familiar with Gwydor and their players, I'm just wondering what they're going to offer at this stage, because, you know, a lot of Midnight Oil has been burnt down there in the last year, and you chat to the backroom team and management team that they're intent on going a more open direction or a more open style of play. Ryan touched on it there. Maybe the last year or two has been a transitional period where you've seen the likes of maybe Kevin Cassidy drop off. Eamon McGee isn't getting any younger. Neil's still there. I mean, Neil McGee is awesome. One of Donegal's best players ever. And made a Lazarus-like recovery from that back injury back in there, and apparently hasn't missed a beat. Again, it's a 50-50 game on paper, but you just have to look at Dave Connell's pedigree and their form over the last few years. Consistency is the word, and you know, they're well capable of winning this game again, maybe by a point or two, but it's hard to look past them.
Since I started commentating on Ocean FM, I'm just thinking of the Meath team in the late 90s, early noughts, or United under Ferguson. They're just incredible, Ryan, at living off scraps, hanging in there, dogs of war, and just digging out results that at times maybe, not all the time, because they can go out and obliterate teams as well, but they're brilliant at winning the close game, arguably as good as anything we've ever seen.
Oh, like, they are tough, Paddy. Like, they are as tough as they come. They can grind it out. You know, they can play it any way you want to play it. If you want to play open, they can play open. If it's tight, cagey, they can do it and they can survive. If you go back to that trilogy, you know, there was times where Gwydor looked like they had them on the ropes and they just managed to hang in. And, you know, Thompson was getting important scores and, you know, they just about survived. And they're so hard to put away, you know. But I actually have a fancy that maybe this week they'll come a cropper. I just think Gwydor are going to edge it.
Going to be fascinating. Friday night, Eirua, St. Michael's. One of the stories of the championship, Frank Craig, Eirua.
Yeah, and we mentioned it earlier, you know, that result against Niamh Connell raised serious eyebrows. But of course, came crashing back down to earth then against St. Eunice. But already, you know, the Ballyshannon men can mark this down as a fantastic championship. I think they'll be content enough what's come their way as well, you know, in the quarterfinal. On paper, St. Michael's is a winnable game for them. On paper, it looks a very close game as well. And it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they've learned, maybe, particularly from the Connell game into the St. Union's game, that you probably do have to find a happy medium in the senior championship. But, I mean, they'll be looking at that there, Barry Ward and those lads. You know, there's energy and there's vibrancy about that St. Union's side. St. Michael's are like that, I suppose, old dog that's been on such a hard road that just haven't got the reward. You know, how long can the likes of Colin McFadden, Christy Toy, and these boys go on? A semi-final for a rear straight up out of intermediate. it would be an example maybe to some other clubs as well that, you know, a lot of clubs I think are not resting on their laurels, but relying on that we're going through transition, that we're that or that. Some of the scores that some of the traditional big hitters have put up in the last couple of weeks have been embarrassing. You know, returns of two or three. And I know maybe I'm being hard and you need to look at it subjectively at size like Four Masters or Tearman that are young or maybe, you know, have dropped down through the grades. But I was in our draw the night that our draw played Kilkear and they had 1 point scored by the 58th minute. It's not a side in transition. You know, there's some experience there. There's lads in their early 20s. I think they need to look at what Eru have done. And even, you know, you look down the relegation, you know, it's not all, you know, equal down there either. Glenfinn can feel very aggrieved. Again, a side that might be coming up to Division 1, you know, next year as well. I think the onus is on, you know, we criticise this top four bracket and we keep referencing it. I hate mentioning it now. I'm trying to think of other descriptions to describe it. But, you know, other sides need to start pulling their socks up too, Paddy. And maybe, you know, aspiring to be a wee bit better here and there because it just hasn't been good enough. And again, I know you said we're going to touch on it. Maybe it might be time to look at a format that's more, you know, fair and more equal to some of the sides. I just look at my notes here now and I'm just thinking if the senior championship was two groups of four of what we have there, you know, and what we have here in the relegation, maybe a senior B, two groups of four, with obviously jump between terms of promotion and relegation, it probably would give all those sides, you know, a far better chance of being competitive. I think everybody would win in the sense that the county team would probably see players at a more even level. And I think the teams themselves, when you look at Four Masters, Tearman, Glenswallier, Dracula, Aisley, and Finn, Mulford, Bundoran, senior B championship there, whoever wins that, just one side progressing to the senior A the following year, maybe with their eyes open a wee bit. And with a wee bit of, you know, momentum behind them would be a better thing because, listen, what we're looking at, and Ryan's already mentioned it, the 16-team championship thing, it's been like pulling teeth to get to where we are now, and we still have 16 teams competing for something, you know. I'm tired of it anyway. It's just going to be an exhausting kind of looking, this sort of paralysis by analysis and some of this stuff, bringing up managers in round four and asking them, how are you this week, hey, after them maybe losing the three previous games? It's, I think even they are tired of the monotony of it all. So listen, I think it's something that needs to be revisited. And listen, people would get excited and far more interested. Like a senior B championship final between, say, a Tearman, Ardra, a Glenfinn, Glenswallie, it just gives them that wee bit of more, I think, confidence in to go up to the following, you know, senior bracket, senior year. And like I look at professional competitions now, Paddy, Champions League, World Cups. It's about saturating these competitions with about as many teams as possible. Money is the motivation there. Money's not the motivation, obviously, in amateur GAA. But how much interest have we all lost in the likes of the Champions League group stages, World Cup group stages, because there's so many dead rubbers there. I mean, back in the day, the Champions League was, I think, two groups in the early 90s. You know, you things like United, Benfica, United, Barcelona, I think Bayern Munich in one group in 99. Yeah. Like, the senior championship group now, I suppose Niamh Connell would be laughing if it was them, McCool, St. Michael's and all. But, you know, if you had a seat it where you had two of the big hitters in each group, it might give a wee bit of a chance, you know, I think for the other sides to improve and play catch up. And drip feed one side back into that senior A every year through one in the senior B.
I think the top four talk is, and I'm as guilty myself, it's nauseating, to be honest. I'm going to try and never use it again. And I said this a few times, I've lived in other counties. I absolutely love counties that play 10, 12 senior teams. I've said it a million times. You have a brilliant intermediate and a brilliant junior. And I would also get rid of reserve football and regrade them like they do in Galway. So say that you wouldn't put them straight into junior A or intermediate. It'd have to work the way up. Take Unions and Neve Connell, who have two brilliant reserve teams. Okay, they'd start at the bottom, but I bet you they would find their way up the levels very, very soon. And it adds way more meaning to it. But I completely concur, Frank. I think 16 is just far too many in any county. Ryan?
I think the senior B idea is a complete non-runner. I don't like it whatsoever.
Okay, but what about then 10 or 12 at senior then? And just go down and go. And look, I'm from Ardra, and I've no shame in saying Ardra at the moment would probably be going down there too, and Killybegs, the neighbouring club. But you've just a far better junior, a far better senior. It's it's a no-brainer, no.
Yeah, but Paddy, like, if Hugh McFadden was fit, would Killy Beggs not think that they would maybe be in that top 10?
Yeah, but look at the crest of the wave Bayrua are getting from... I'm in around, I've seen a few of their games. They're great fellas, right? And they've a really good management team. And there's just this positivity surrounding them coming into training. And look at how well St. Nod's have done. Glenfinnan were unlucky. Surely they're getting momentum from the crest of the wave from winning an intermediate championship. And it could be the same if those 10 or 12. Let's say Killy Beggs won it, or Ardra or Terman. Surely that positivity would carry on a continuity to the following year.
Yeah, well, my point is, like,
rather than these teams struggling every single year, it's the same teams that are just staying up every single year.
Yeah, like, I'm not against, say, restructuring it. It's the senior B idea. I just don't see where, like, what motivation do you have that, you know...
Well, the motivation for me would be there, Ryan. I mean, you see, like, have a Glenfinnan or, say, came up a few years ago, when you have Ayrua. The jump from being intermediate champions to winning a senior championship is, I mean, you're talking about miles. The jump from intermediate to winning a senior B championship isn't. So if you had a senior B title under your belt, then going into senior A, you've just bridged the gap, I think, again. I just think it's impossible if you come up as intermediate championship. And then you end up swimming or treading water in this middle earth where you might be too good to go down, but nowhere near good enough to punch through a glass ceiling. And that's where I think clubs like my own club, Ardra, find themselves. They're just in this vortex of I think, interest. It just wanes. You chat to people in Dunlow that have dropped to intermediate, dropped Division 2. Things are buzzing down there again. I was in Dunlow Sunday morning with the ferry walk with my daughter. And I was looking in over the fence there in Dunlow, and it was obviously an A versus B game, but they were tearing into each other. And you wouldn't have got that in Dunlow on a Sunday morning training session, you know, two seasons ago, because they were completely disillusioned. So disillusioned that so many of the boys end up departing and going to Australia and American place like that there. There's a bite again about Dunlow. I mean, if Dunlow, what happened to one in intermediate with a bit of momentum, went into a senior B competition, they'd have a chance to win that next year if they managed to lift the intermediate this year. But maybe the caveat or the warning there is that, you know, the intermediate championship's pretty tasty the way it is. And I would just be afeard of, you know, plumping that there up at the expense of getting our maybe 18 senior championship and forgetting about a senior B, you know, bumping up the intermediate might disturb what we have there, which I think is probably, you know, every bit as exciting, if not more exciting than the senior one at the minute.
I'm not against restructuring it. I'm just saying, but like, just put them down to intermediate where there's that push to get out to win the intermediate and get up to Ulster and go through a good run in Ulster, because that's very tangible for teams now that you can go on a good through run in the Ulster Intermediate Championship. But teams, like, I don't know, like, if you're in a senior B championship and all you're playing for is a place in the senior championship next year, like, you, what's the motivation to go to the gym in January for that, Frank? Like, I just don't see it.
I think it's silverware, eh? I mean, you look at Milford there. What would a senior B, you know, what would a senior B championship mean to the likes of Milford or a Terman side with the average age of 22? I think your motivation come January then will be massive. What's their motivation come January at the moment? Getting stuffed by, you know, some sides are getting stuffed by 19, 20, 21 points. Do you know, I think put yourself in any young fella's shoes. Now, the world's a lot different to when, you know, if you're 19 or 20, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, you're usually, you know, based around home. Some are traveling to college, some are working away. Lads are just looking for an excuse now to fly the nest. And if the, you know, the lure of football isn't there in their local parish, they're going to be gone. And I think you need to be competitive, and some sides shouldn't have. It's not about, we talk about this in Intercounty as well. There are levels to this game. And I think you have to bracket the sides that are in certain levels and put them together and give them incentive. You know, as you say, maybe senior B is the wrong way to title it, but I get your point that it needs to be discussed, or it needs to be, you know, it needs to be open to the floor how best. I think we're all in agreement that we have at the minute just isn't working.
Yeah, but, like, you know, I think you've got to look at what we have here too, and you've got to accept that we have, like, I'm going to call them the big four or the top four, even if you don't want to, but, like, they have so much quality in their team. And I was talking to Paul Rouse, the Sean McCool's manager, yesterday evening, and he was just talking about, you know, Kilcar have four county players, and they've maybe another four or five that have county experience played in National League and in Senior Championship. Like that is huge. You know, and
I'll let you finish and you'll make a very good point here.
That is with the top four. Like Guidoor would have 8 or 9 players as well. You know, Niamh Connell have that. Now, in the Tyrone Senior Championship last night, Dungannon were playing Dromore and they played out a cracking game. And people are talking about Twitter now. I didn't see it myself. But I was looking through the team sheets and from what I could recognize, and I would keep a wee idea or a close eye on it, maybe not 100%, but I reckoned that Dungannon had 2 players with senior experience and Dromore maybe 4. Like, that's a huge difference from 8 or 9, like, you know. Looking at it, I would say maybe Eric O'Kieran would have maybe the same level. But I just think over the rest of the Tyrone Club Championship, maybe they have 4 or 5. There's just more of a spread, whereas here in Donegal at present, we have 4 very, very strong teams, and it's going to be hard for sides to compete with them if they don't have, you know, the 2 or 3 county players and the few fellas that have played there before.
All right, well, look at it this way. Let's look at the top four and look at them each as case studies. You said it earlier, Guidoor are never going to go away. St. Eunice are never going to go away, but let's look at Kilkear, the current Kilkear senior team. How many of those lads have under 14 and under 16 B titles? How many of those lads, the likes of, you know, Ryan McHugh, Owen McHugh, have reserved titles for Kilkear? Kilkear looked at their model about 15 or 20 years ago and said it wasn't working. And I remember there was disgruntlement in other clubs when they dropped down through the ranks at underage into B competitions. They started giving their players competitive outings. They started putting medals in their back pocket and they've generated huge interest. But I have no doubt, and you talk to Kilkear people, Kilkear are going to go away in the next 5 or 6 years simply because they don't, not that they don't have the structures in place below now, they just don't have the bodies or the, you know, the people coming through. So Kilkear are going to drop off. And listen, Niamh Connell as well could well drop off in future as well. Where's the other sides coming through maybe to take their place? You could revert back to it, you know, a big two or whatever, but other sides have to aspire to what the likes of Niamh Connell and Kilkear, especially out of that big four, have done in the last 15 or 20 years. And that is to get their sides competitive games and competitive leagues, regardless if they're called A, B, or C competitions. That's where players flourish. That's where you keep interest. And listen, Hammers at underage, you know, are far more probably effective and maybe have negative connotations than I think they do at senior. So you need to be very careful what you're bringing through and what level you're bringing them through. And I just think Kilkear and Niamh Connell, especially Kilkear, you look at the likes of Ryan McHugh, Owen McHugh, Steve McBurney, all these boys, they probably have, you know, underage medals in inferior competitions at home. But I think it served them well at the time. They've got the senior. They've managed to lasso or harness a senior team that's capable of, you know, challenging for honours, winning big honours. And I just think the overall picture, and I know we're splitting hairs here and going off in different directions, but I think it's definitely something that needs to be revisited. You know, get the clubs involved. Get them, you know, bringing proposals to the table and seeing where we can go down the line. Because I think there's some big clubs there. If they continue to suffer the way they're suffering at the minute, you just wonder how they're ever going to come out of the hole they find themselves in.
Well, yeah. just to go back on that, and I know, Paddy, maybe we are going way off the tangent, but like...
My next question was, who's going to pick up Michael Langan? And we've just went on a 20-minute rant here. Okay, Ryan, last one on this, because no, it's a very important...
Just last, like, well, first of all, you know, Ryan McHugh and Paddy McBurney, they may have under 14 Division 2 titles. They also have minor championship Division 1 titles and under 21 A titles. So
you're making my point for me there. They've progressed, you know, they've progressed up through the ranks where they probably felt confident enough mentally and physically by minor, you know, to compete. Ryan McHugh, I mean, there's that famous photo of him and Paddy McBurney embracing in an under 14 game. Ryan McHugh, I mean, he's up to Paddy McBurney's knees. You know, Ryan McHugh was able to develop an under 14, under 13 without being poleaxed, maybe an under 14, under 16 A. So again, you need to look at it in a certain way that's, I think these players ultimately are benefiting, you know, from that.
No, but my point before interrupted there, Frank, was that, like, look at the minor championship this year. Look at the semi finalists there last Sunday. McCool's against 4 Masters. Glenfinn against Glenswilly. We're going to have a McCool's Glenswilly county minor final, those teams both had their teams. Like, there's a huge amount of work going on. The likes of Terman, Dunlow, like, a huge amount of work is going on. Like, you know, and I just, you know, like, I just think we've got to appreciate at the minute. And again, I'm not against tweaking championships or looking at things, but I just think we have four very strong teams in the county at present that are good but stronger than everybody else. But that mightn't always be the case. It mightn't be the case in 5 years' time. It mightn't be the case in 10 years' time.
And I talking to, you know, I was looking at the last 15 or 16 under 21 championships. The top four have won, I think, 13 out of 15 or 14 out of 16, something like that. Look, lads, we definitely won over time. And I know, Frank, you need to go talk about digressing. That's my fault. Irua, St. Michael's, Michael Langan, if you can tie him up, they'll feel, Irua, that they go a long way, Ryan, to winning this. He is class.
He is. And like, he had been carrying an injury at the start of the championship. You know, he was very, very good against Killybegs last week. Looking at the Irua team, now you probably have seen them more than I have this year, Paddy. I'd say it's a job for Eamon McGrath. Is it, like, you know?
Yeah, no, there's a question mark over him and his fitness. It's probably a job for him, yeah. Eddie Lynch as well. It depends where Langan plays. Colm Kelly would usually pick up their main man that would go inside, but you're probably looking at Eamon McGrath or perhaps Eddie Lynch if McGrath's not okay.
Yeah, maybe big Johnny Gethins could do a job on it too. I don't know. Like, I think this is a cracking game, Paddy, because I think both teams will really be eyeing it up. You know, Ariel look at St. Michael's, at the boys carrying injuries. St. Michael's will look at Irua and think they've got the craft and experience to beat them. It's really, really well set up. And I think it could be the game of the weekend, tell you the truth.
Yeah, Philip Patton has been excellent this year. Very underrated footballer. I've seen him put in very few bad performances. Michael McKenna, outstanding the last day. The young guy now, Mark McGlynn. Call it in a word, Ryan.
St. Michael's.
Frank?
I think Irua will beat them.
Yeah, going to be a close one. Kilcar McCools, let's fry through this. It's in our draw. And look, Kilcar have shown huge resilience this year, Ryan. Okay, you know, they're a top team. I thought they were going to be a little bit hungover after the county final, if I'm being honest. As in, I suppose that win then against St. Junan's really was the catalyst for them in terms of getting over that hangover.
Yeah, but like, again, going back to the point I made, Paddy, they've so much quality. Like, you know, you're never going to keep a team like Kilcar, you know, down like that. And you know, they are motoring well, and, you know, they have boys, the likes of McBrearty, the likes of Ray McHugh. Those boys are 27, 28. They are in their prime now. Like, you know, like, for a long time, they were the young pretenders. They're not anymore. They're here, and they're ready. And, you know, like, McCools, I think McCools have the raw ingredients to put it up to them. I think they've got good defenders, the likes of Marty Gallagher, Ronan McMenamin, Chad McSorley, Luke Gavigan, young Cian Mulligan come out of the minors, looks a good player. And they've obviously got Oisin Gallant, who will cause, you know, every team in the county problems. But it's just hard to see past Kilcar. They should have too much.
Yeah, okay. St. Noll's v. St. Unans. Frank?
Yeah, that's a difficult one for St. Noll's there. I think St. Unans will be delighted with the way the draw has kind of worked out for them, especially with, you know, three other big sides lumped on the other side of the draw. I think St. Unans will won that and will won it comfortably, but again, they have serious designs. They have a serious path in front of them where they should be making a final if they look at that there. If they don't uphold that end of the bargain, they'll only have themselves to blame, because I think they're superior in quality, you know, strength and depth. They tick all the boxes over everything else on that side of the draw. So I think it's St. Unans versus, you know, whoever comes through that there, other tough side. Niamh Connell, we don't want them again. Obviously, I would expect Kilcar to beat McCool. So it's going to be a St. Unans versus, I think, whoever, you know, progresses in that tricky A side.
I love when players say they don't listen to podcasts for that. They all do, because they seem to know everything after the match. So Frank Craig is so getting played in the dressing room beforehand by the St. Noll's management.
St. Noll's were aggrieved last week, and rightly so, that, you know, they felt the game was handed to them. And I thought it was brilliantly refreshing to see the likes of Stephen Griffin and that there coming out and saying how they felt.
Class.
We probably need more of that there. And listen, huge respect for them to mention that there. And again, listen, I don't think I'm disrespecting them. I think, you know, there's serious progress been made in Mount Charles. They're into a senior football championship quarter final. I think, you know, for the first time ever. So, listen, the Wolves, they're oyster going forward. They've nothing to lose at the weekend. You know, they're a young, energetic side. They'll need to throw the kitchen sink at St. Eunan's. I just think St. Eunan's are far further down that track. You know, it's just such a big ask, I think, in the here and now. But no, St. Noel's, I think, Stirling working on there. Won an intermediate championship a few years ago. You can see the progression there, Paddy, step by step. And, you know, this year, again, is another step on that their journey. But it's almost impossible to look past St. Eunan's, not just in terms of St. Noel's, but that entire side of the draw now.
I agree. I thought the interviews were absolutely brilliant. More of that, please. And look, if you can use it as a siege mentality, Stephen Griffin, I mean, what a club legend. Good news for St. Noel's. I'm commentating on that game. I think I've commented on St. Noel's 13 times. I think they've won 12. I actually missed their match in Ulster where they lost, but I was in that journey the whole way up. Ryan, I see you nodding your head there. I seem to disagree with everything Frank says. You think this is a banana skin for St. Eunan's, don't you?
Well, I disagree. Like, you think this is a normal Tuesday morning for us, Paddy? Like, we just
don't... We're actually getting on the day.
I actually have seen St. Noel's four group games, and I've been really impressed with them. I just think Pater Mogan has really brought his game to a new level. Like, I just love the intensity and drive that he plays with Brendan McCall. You know, Brendan, probably a bit maligned at times in this county, but, like, he empties himself into the cause every single time. He's a tough defender. I think he's really progressed. And, you know, I was down watching him the last day. They move the ball very wide, to keep the ball wide. You know, they haven't played one of the top four teams and they've got through, and they're going to play one this weekend. So that's a huge challenge. But, you know, I would agree. I think they've made great progress. I thought Stephen Griffin's interview, even though it was with a rival media outlet, I didn't manage to pick it up. I thought it was quite good. So, listen, I think they're in a great position. But, you know, you just would expect St. Eunan's to have too much for them.
Alan Foley, the Piers Morgan of Donegal.
I was going to say Hector, but no, whatever floats your boat. No, fairness to him, Alan is disarming in that sense that I think the two boys, you know, just went for it. It is very interesting, but, you know, don't lose the cusp of the point in between the messing and joking, because, you know, the wording was strong in a sense that the boys probably felt that, you know, anyone that wasn't at that game or listened to the radio or read newspapers, that Glenn Swilly basically were robbed. That was the gist of it. I mean, in a clumsy, you know, terms, paraphrasing, but the boys are there in the quarterfinal. They're there on merit. And maybe some of the, you know, we're probably talking about dull and boring group stages, but, you know, you look at that there, sort of subplot of Glenn Swilly maybe being in a relegation battle in St. Noel's in a quarterfinal. There's some interest placed amongst the, you know, the boredom, but not enough, I think, for us not to maybe look for a different direction and all that.
Someone once told me there's no such thing as luck. Luck is when opportunity meets preparation. So I actually believe it. Napoleon said it, rather a lucky general than a good general. Look, you make your own. Fair play to St. Noel's. That's where they are. Fair play to Frank Craig. See you, Frank.
All right, good luck.
Glenn Swilly, our draw relegation playoffs. Look, we're already running out of time. Call that one, Ryan. First of all, should Glenn Swilly be in a relegation playoff having won two games? Should 50% of the field go into a relegation playoff?
Definitely not. And, like, but this is my point, Paddy. Like, had you had just the bottom four, you would have had more competitive games last week, you know, because, like, I was at Milford and St. Noel's. Now, Milford's performance was pretty poor. But, like, you know, St. Noel's got a very good start. What was their motivation after 15 or 20 minutes to battle hard? Like, and, you know, sure, they were just going through the motions then. And, you know, like, to me, it was all done wrong in that regard. And, you know, I don't want to come across too hectic on fixture makers or organisers, because I imagine it's a queer pain trying to organise it all. But, and I know that the reason they did it was in case teams had COVID and had to drop out, but then nobody had COVID and had to drop out. So, you know, I think they should have just maybe called it a week or two ago and said, you know, no, it's just going to be the bottom four. Maybe you can't do that with the regulations and stuff. I don't know. But, yeah, I feel that Glenn Swilly, you know, and Glenn Finn, I feel they're harshly done by, but at the same time, I don't think they're going to be relegated. And I think Glenn Swilly are going to beat our draw this week.
And your own club, Milford, Bundoran?
Yeah, I watched Milford and Bundoran last year, and Bundoran beat Milford in a good game. you know, both teams are probably missing five or six players since that, you know. So, like, you know, I suppose from my own allegiances, I would like to see Milford win it, but, you know, I probably, you know, if you're going with the head, I would say you'd have to tip Bundoran to win that.
Yeah, okay. And Killybegs, Glenfinn next week in Four Masters tournament. Because of those long rants, we're stuck for time now. Intermediate quarterfinals on Neath Breach, Neath Clumbach in Killybegs on Saturday at 2 o'clock at the same time. Clohanaly take on Mallon in O'Donnell Park. Then Neath Ora take on Dunlow, 6 o'clock in Ardra. That, of course, is the prelude to the senior match between McCools and Kilcar. And on Sunday, Fanad Gael's Buncrana. Quickly, Neath Breach, Neath Clumbach, you would fancy Neath Clumbach to have too much here, but Neath Breach, I've seen them a few times in the last few years, they're stubborn.
Yeah, and they've done very well, like, yeah. Because like they were hammered in the first game. They had a poor league campaign as well, and Dunlow made light work of them in Rosses Park in the first game. And you, like at that side, you were saying, well, they're definitely going to be in the relegation playoffs. They've come back and won their three games, which is good going. And, you know, they'll fancy their chances of rattling into Glen this weekend. I seen Neath Clumbach against Clohanaly. I was impressed with them that day. I thought they were good. I thought Lanty Malloy, Ryan Gillespie, you know, Aaron Doherty wasn't particularly impressive that day, but, you know, he brings great quality to it. I would have maybe a little question mark over the depth of Neath Clumbach if they picked up a couple of injuries. But if they have everybody out, I can't see them having too much difficulty.
Okay, Clohanaly, Mallon. Clohanaly, hot favourites here.
Yeah, Clohanaly are probably hot favourites, is right. You know,
they're very good. They're a very good side.
They are a very good side, you know, but they've struggled to get over, you know, the intermediate hurdle. And, you know, maybe that's because they're considered to be the big hitter and teams are looking to gun them down. You know, Jason McGee has missed a few games in the championship. You know, if he's back and fit and flying, you know, it's going to be very difficult for Mallon. Young Blake McGarvey's gone in for Clohanaly this year and been a good addition in a quarter forward. But they've also lost Kevin Mulhern for the season. Like, you know, that's a big loss. You know, man with kind of experience as well. But yeah, Mallon, you know, have done all right since they went down to the intermediate football. They've kind of steadied up. They've been able to get into the intermediate quarterfinals. They have a couple of good young players like Josh Conlon and Kieran Doherty and boys like that. But like, I think Clohanaly will have too much.
You've already done low. There's a huge game.
Yeah, but of a Rosses derby. Like, it'll be a good one. I'm sure there's plenty of crack down there this week. Looking forward to that. You know, Nivora, you have to say, you know, I've been caught once or twice, Paddy. I've tipped against them down the banks, and it's risky business now.
Don't tip against people on a local. It's okay at national. At local, people get very upset about these things. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
I don't know if they get too upset now, but they're maybe not, they like to let you know anyway. But no, in fairness, you know, they're a young team, Nivora, and they've lost a lot of players. Like, you know, a lot of boys, you know, around my own vintage that were top quality players. And if they had those, you know, they would be a strong side. They haven't got them. They've had to go with young lads. You know, you're looking at Joey Gillespie and Owen Martin to do the business. It's going to be tough. Like, I think, you know, Dunlow are going well. They're motoring well, and they had a good campaign in Division 2. They lost to Downance in the first day, and you're thinking, God, this is the wrong trajectory for them, but they bounced back well. They've good young players. Oisin Bonner and the full forward line's good. Daniel Ward, Dara Gallagher, good players. Now, it could be a lively local derby. You know, neither side, you know, maybe Dunlow would have preferred not to run into Nivora, but I still think Dunlow will have too much.
Yeah, good job. Mary from Dunlow is not on at the moment. Things could get heated down there. Oney McGarvey was probably texting you at 3 in the morning, was he? When you went against Nivora, something like that. Sunday, Fanad Gael's Buncrana. Imagine Buncrana, hot favourites in this one.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, the two teams met at this juncture last year. And, you know, Buncrana won easy enough. I think they scored 4 goals. I think Yolanda scored 4 goals too. But, you know, Buncrana still won quite easily. But that game was in the Scarvey. You know, when Shamie Nanny Freel wasn't really playing last year, he's back now. And he should be available this week. Jack Loughlin, the county hurler, was playing last year for Buncrana. I'm not sure. I don't think he's been talking out this year. Now, I know Buncrana lost in the hurling last week, so maybe he'll be roped back in. He's a very good defender, and I don't know if Buncrana are overly blessed with good defenders, so he would be a loss if he's not there. Barry Meehan has come in to help Aidan McAteer with Gaelanida this year. They've had a good season. Maybe, again, not a huge squad, and if they lose one or two players, it does have an impact on them. Like I would expect them to put it right up to Buncrana this week, but I still think Buncrana maybe will just have too much with the likes of Keelan McGonigal in there and John Campbell and those boys.
Yeah, okay. Barry Meehan, a friend of the podcast. I hate when all these guys get into backroom teams and managements, because then you don't get them on the podcast. You're raging, like, but no, he's by all accounts, I've heard from a lot of people, he is really, really good. Ryan, in a word, who's going to win the Intermediate Championship this year? I know it's a little bit still far away, far out, but...
I think if Jason McGee stays fit, I think Clonmany won it.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to go for my good buddies, Niamh Columba. Ladies final, Glenfinn at Sermon. We are recording this podcast on a Tuesday. We haven't got the day yet or the venue, but who do you fancy?
I fancy Glenfinn to win it. Now, I was at another Geraldine McLaughlin masterclass last weekend.
She's ridiculous, right? Like she, I met her to a couple of the early rounds of the ladies in the senior championship this year, the All-Ireland. She's just incredible.
Yeah, she's just, you know, such power and strength, and right foot, left foot, she can curl them over from anywhere, and you know, she gets through for goals, and she can get goals very quick succession. Like, I think it was Mavolfo back with Tara Higgerty last week, and I was just thinking, like, she woke up on Sunday morning and knew she was going to be marking Geraldine McLaughlin. Like, you know, it must be cruel. Like, you'd want to turn over to the other side of the pillow, maybe, you know, I don't know. But now, in fairness, Termon have a lot of young girls in there. It's, you know, they're in a wee bit of transition. Like, so Jodie McFadden was very impressive. Ciara McGarvey is also quite a good soccer player of the Donegal Women's League underage teams. She was very good last week. Andy Connor from Downans is in managing them, you know. But I think Glenfinn beat Termon easily last year. Now, Termon might be the wounded animal, but I think Glenfinn are a good, strong team, and I just think they might have the edge in this one.
It should be a pulsating contest. There's no doubt about that. Ryan Ferry, I think that's it. I'm going to try and make 5-6 matches this weekend. What about you?
Yeah, I'll try it. It's not always easy with the paper. We're trying to, you know, work around things and try and get, you know, accommodating. And like, you can see what it's like with Frank there. It's not easy to get him arranged to go somewhere if he disagrees with me, like, you know, so we'll have to try and work it out some way.
Problem child, I think we'll call him. Ryan Ferry, Donegal News, one of the best in the business. I like to call you the James Milner in terms of your knowledge of Donegal GA, so versatile, and you know, all the different grades. Anyway, that's it. Ryan, thanks a million for joining me here on the Donegal GAA podcast.
Thank you very much, Paddy.
Okay, that's it for today. Thanks to you, our listeners, and to our loyal sponsors, Donegal Plumbing and Heating, O'Lahy Road, Donegal Town. We are back on Sunday evening. Our next show will be reviewing all the matches in the Senior and Intermediate Football Championships. We will talk to you in a few days.
FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town, suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs, and sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.